This is my absolutely favorite, most favorite topic in the whole earth. Because the theme for these weeks is why Jesus Christ is completely awesome. And, you know, every Christian should be crazy about Christ. Absolutely crazy about Christ. You know why I'm here? Because of Jesus Christ. You know why I follow the Lord? Because I've seen Jesus Christ. And you know what will keep me going for you know, the next decades is a further unveiling of who Jesus Christ is, to see him in his glory, in his splendor, in his details. Things on the earth, the closer you look at them, the more you realize, whoa, it's not as perfect as I thought. But with Jesus, it's different. The closer you look at him, the more details you see, the more angles you see, the more aspects you see. Just realize, wow, this person is more and more perfect. Betty, how long have you known the Lord?
40 years.
Betty, is he better now than he was just 5 years ago? Is he better now than the first year you've heard him? How about I ask the same question about a Chevy Cruze? Is that car better now than 5 years ago? How about the Republican Party? Is the Republican Party better now than 5 years ago? Or the Democratic Party, is it better now? Or no. But you look at Jesus, and it's really different. He gets better. When we see him, we fall in love with him. And it's just like, that is why I follow the Lord. That is why I'll give up everything. This is what Paul said. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. It's like he saw this view of Christ Jesus as Lord, and he realized, I can know Christ. And when he did that, he said, you know what? Everything else in my life, I count it as loss. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ. In order that I may gain Christ. It's like this. He saw that, you know, this Christ, knowing Christ. Wow, I have an opportunity to know Christ. And compared with any other thing in my life, I count it. It's so much better. It's so much better. And then I have an opportunity to, listen to this, gain Christ. Gain Christ. I like that little word, gain Christ. You know what? You know what? We're not here for reform. We're not here for personal reform. We're not here for self-help. We are here for this one thing, to gain Christ. Gain Christ. Can you believe the Bible says I can gain Christ? You know, it's very simple to think about gaining weight. You just eat a few donuts every morning. And over the months, over the years, you just acquire something more. You go to sleep different than when you woke up. You woke up 165. You go to sleep 165.3. Then you go to sleep the next, and then you wake up the next day 165.3. And then you go to sleep 165.6. And you're just like, oh yeah, it's just a calorie thing. But imagine, there's this word called gain Christ. What does that mean? My life is more full of Christ. My person is more full of Christ. You know, the one that we've been seeing, like, wow, he is so awesome. He is wonderful. And I can actually have more of him. Paul said, you know, with that kind of life, I've lost a lot of things. You know, he suffered the loss of all things. And he, you know, maybe he thought about his career in Judaism. And he's like, wow, I could have I could have had a career in Judaism where I was respected by a lot of different people. And I look at that and I compare that with the fact that I can gain Christ. And I look at that career and I say, you know what? Rubbish. I like the ESV, rubbish. It's a good British word. We would say garbage. You could say dung. It's like, wow, I gained Christ. And I looked at those things that I gave up. It's like, whoa, one time I gave up $1,000 for Christ. And I look at that, it's like, whoa, just rubbish. Why? Because I gained Christ. I gave up my time. I couldn't watch something on TV. But you know what? I count that as rubbish. Why? Because I touched something so wonderful. I gained him. I gained him. You know, it sounds kind of like, you know, this kind of view of Christ. It sounds, in a way, it's like, what? How do I change my life? How do I change my life? You know how you change your life? It's just kind of like this. Keep looking at Christ. Keep looking at Christ. Let me give you an example of this in Philippians. Okay, this is Paul's charge from, you know, for the church in Philippi. I'll read this, Philippians 2. It's in your program. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more excellent or significant than yourselves. Let me read that again. Count others more significant than yourselves. You know, it's a good rule for marriage, good rule for a church. Iris, I count you more significant than me. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. This is the life Paul wanted us to have, and wow, what a church life. What a life. It's like, wow, I count you to be more significant than myself. And then it's kind of a big charge, because most people, when you get down to it, they're just downright selfish. And why can I say that? Because I know myself. Most people really think they're better than everyone else. And it's really hard to do this. I want to look after your interests and put my interests aside. That's why, you know, it's Paul's charge. Count others more significant than yourselves. And then look at the way he gives for doing that. Have this mind in yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. And then he goes through, and I just want to give a picture of that. You know, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. And then he goes through this whole theological statement. But the point is this. You know, I want you to live your life like this, where you can count others more significant, you know, than yourselves. But the way I want you to do that is have this kind of mind in you. Think this way, and that mind is yours in Christ Jesus. The mind was in Christ Jesus. So you have to, like, be crazy about Christ. Look at Christ. Look at what he did. And you know, when you look at what he did, that mind will be in you. What's the secret? It's not like this. Okay, now I'm going to practice writing down the virtues of all the people around me. And I'm going to practice just saying it. You're more significant than me. You're more significant than me. No, it's not something like that. It's almost like this. Just look at Christ. Look at him. Look at Christ. And with that kind of view of Christ, the mind will be in you. And what happens? It automatically is lived out. Is lived out automatically. It's just kind of like this. How can Christians love? The only reason I can love is because Christ loved me a lot. I taste that love of Christ, and then the love goes through. You know, the only way we can live a life like this is if we really see what the Lord has done. And I'd like to try with all my strength to explain the next few verses about Christ. And I hope the Holy Spirit will make him completely awesome. Let me read this. This was Christ. This is Christ. 6, verse 6. Though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the God the Father. Let me just go through this. I want to go through this in each step. And I hope we can get a picture of what Jesus actually did. Go back to verse 6. Though he was in the form of God. Now, this is before Jesus was born, before his, you know, incarnation, before Mary had the baby. We're just talking about who Jesus was before that whole thing happened. You know, the Son of God did not begin when Jesus was born. What it was he was in the form of God. Form of God. Let me talk about that. Form of God. What is the form of God? It is not just like the nature of God. It's not just the nature of God. It's not just like he was there, but he was in the form of God, meaning there was some kind of display of God, some kind of display of God that he had. Jesus had the Son. Jesus had a display of God. And that display was because of what he really was. What he really was. You could say there's a shining, there was a glory, there was some kind of expression, some kind of display. Wow, he existed in the form of God. And, you know, commentators would say something like this. It was the outward display of the inward reality. In other words, like this. He was really God, so he shined. It wasn't like, you know, he shined, but there was something hollow inside. He shined like God, but there was no God inside. No, he shined like God because he was really God inside. He existed in the form of God. Existed in the form of God. And while he was, you know, so you could think of this glorious display. Think of God. When you think of God, think of anything infinite, something wonderful, something more marvelous, something grander. Think of God himself. And Jesus was in the form of God. Form. And look at the next little phrase. Did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Interesting. Okay, so here you have it. This is Jesus. He did not count. He was in the form of God. He did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Now, you know, it's easy for these words just to run by our head, my head. Let me tell you, what is equality with God? That means, actually, equality with God. Equality with God. Think of a gold medal. That's nothing. Think of fame. That's nothing. Think of power. Think of recognition. That is nothing. I'm talking about equality with God. Equality with God. It wasn't a thing to be grasped. You know, in your life, you're governed by the things you want to grasp. That's how people are. I know this one guy. He got a new car, and he wanted to keep the paint on the car unscratched. And oh my goodness, what a governing that had in his whole life. When we had parked, we had to park in two parking spaces. Way out. And a lot of his consideration, it was kind of like, no, let's see, will we go there? Will not? Will we drive here? At what time? It was really governed by whether or not the paint might get scratched on his car. What did he do? He had this thought of like, I'm grasping my good paint job on my car. And you know what? It was a peg in his life. And it was just like, it governed too much of his life. And I still remember the scene. It was funny in kind of a weird way, but his car was the keys were locked in the car, and somehow he was under a garage door, and I remember seeing the garage door come down right over his hood, and I was like, oh, no. Another man, you know, he had some history from his past that would jeopardize his job. And it was like he was grasping that, and everything was dependent on, you cannot find out my history. Otherwise, I'll lose my job, hurt my family, etc., etc., etc. It was like he's grasping it. Hey, I've got to have this secret. Okay, this is Jesus. Let me tell you what Jesus did. There's equality with God. And you know what? It's not a treasure to be grasped. Not a treasure to be grasped. It doesn't mean he despised it. It's kind of like this. This is equality with God. This $20 bill. It's equality with God. And this was the Son. This was Jesus. And he existed in the form of God. So he had that display of God. And then he saw, he considered, I can be equal with God. I can be equal with God in expression, in everything like that. And I could just grab hold of that. And you know what Jesus did? It's like this. It's an open hand. No. I'm not grasping it. I could lose it. I could lose equality with God. If a little wind would come, but I'm not going to do anything to prevent that. You know, it doesn't happen. But Jesus just saw the whole thing and no, I'm not going there. And you could think about silly stuff like being, you know, appreciated by people. And you say, no, I'm not going to hold that. You know what Jesus did? It was equality with God. And he said, no, it's just there. Father, I trust you. I don't think I might not get anything out of this. And I might botch the entire thing. I had equality with God in my grasp. And I just realized, no, it's not something like that. He didn't hold on to it. And then emptied himself. Jesus emptied himself. And this is like a minefield for like, well, did he empty himself? What does that mean? How did he empty himself? And some people say, well, like, a heretic would say this. He emptied himself from being God. No, wait, no. He didn't empty himself from being God. It's not like when he was a man, when he was born as a man, or, you know, when he, you know, was in this stage, he was no longer God. But there was a real emptying himself. It was like, it's just like this. And then he emptied himself. Maybe just like, you don't even see it under there. What did he empty himself of? He didn't empty himself of the power that comes from being God, because we knew he'd doing miracles on the earth. He didn't empty himself of the nature of God. He was not like, oh, I'm not God anymore. But he emptied himself of that whole display of glory. He emptied himself of the whole display of what he was in that, you know, pre-creation, everything. of the glory of God. It just did not appear in him. He's just like an empty, he divested himself of the whole thought of using God, using himself as God for personal gain, using his equality with God for some kind of show, display. And he took the form of a servant. Took the form of a servant. Now that form is the same as God, the form of God, form of a servant. The word is only used 3 times in the Bible. These are 2 right here. And what it means, like, you know, he was really, really, really a servant. I hope you can begin to get the progression here. Form of God with glory. And why did he have this kind of glory? Because he was really God. And then he just opened his hand and said, you know what? I'm not going to grasp anything. I'm not going to grasp anything. I just leave it there. And then I emptied myself so that there's no more display of God. And I took another form. He took another form is the form of a servant. Form of a servant. That means he was like this, God the Father, I am really your servant. I look like it. I have an expression, an outward expression of a servant, and I am inside, truly, absolutely servant. It's so easy to serve somebody but not be a servant. You know, serve somebody. Oh, yeah. One time I tried to help a lady carrying groceries home from Dave's, and she just got totally offended because she's like, I'm not too old to carry my own groceries. Anyway, it's just a total botch, you know. And then I was trying to serve her, but I wasn't her servant. Servant. It's like, you know who I am in my essence. I'm just here to serve you. I'll say, if you look at my son, Andrew, I'm his servant. Just here, serve. Serve him. A parent is a servant to the kids. You know, raise them up. He took the form of a servant. And he was born in the likeness of men. Form of God, emptied, didn't grasp it, emptied himself, the form of a servant, and he became in the likeness of men. And you know what Jesus did? You know what he did? He was in this glory, and then all of a sudden he became in the likeness of men. And Romans chapter 8, verse 3 continues like the likeness of the flesh of sin. So, you know, Abel was killed by Cain, murdered. That's what a man is capable of doing, murdering. And you know what Jesus did? He became in the likeness of that man. David committed adultery, took another man's wife, and then he conspired and lied to her husband and then had him killed. You know, just being associated with this whole thing called man. Yeah, that's what Jesus did. He was seen, he became in the likeness of man. What did he, what was he? He was in the form of God and just emptied. I'm not grasping. And then became in the likeness of men. And then 8, being found in human form. Just imagine this, being found in human form. So there was the creator of all man. And then you could look at a crowd when Jesus was born. This is after his birth. You know, say there were 20 guys in Nazareth. And they were all like, you know, maybe selling their stuff on the sidewalk. He was a carpenter. 20 guys selling, you know, hey, there's Tom. There is Nick. There's Ted. There's this guy. There's this guy. Oh, there's the creator of the universe. Oh, there's this guy. There's that guy. There's that guy. But you know what? You would not get that impression at all. Can you imagine being that? Like, it's like, I don't know, if you build a building and then you walk into it and no one acknowledges you. And you know what went into the whole architecture, the whole everything. You know what went into the sweat, and then you just walk in the building and they're like, hey, make sure you wash your feet, wipe your feet before you come in here. That's a mild example. He was found in fashion as a man. And he had gone through all that. And then you look through a crowd and it's like, oh, he's just another guy. But you know what? He was the one who was in the form of God. Emptied himself. And then, as a man, he humbled himself. Another step. He humbled himself. When he humbled himself, he did things like this. Like he just followed the law of the, he was a Jew. So he followed the Jewish law. The dietary regulations. He went year by year to the feasts in Jerusalem. And as a man, he didn't demand any kind of respect from the people around him. Just humbled himself. So there are these laws. They were written by me. And they were for men created by me. And they were for the whole society. But I am the father of the whole society. And you know what? I just humble myself and just go along with it. Go along with it. And he became obedient. And as a man, he just did this. He just became obedient. And he prayed in a garden one night. Well, you know, he was about to be arrested, and it's like, Father, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but yours. And he took up the Father's will and became obedient to the Father as a man. And in his trial and in his arrest, there were different instances, you know. One time, he mentioned this. Don't you know, I could ask my Father at this moment, and there would be legions of angels, and they will wipe all these people out. No. What was his whole life? His whole life was this. I'm not grasping. Father, your will. And then he went through this whole thing. He was in the form of God. And then in his humbleness, this goes on, becoming obedient to the point of death. And then, comma, even the death of a cross. So he was slapped. By a man he created. He was mocked. Save yourself. By people that he had imagined from the foundation of the world. And he was put through all of those things. And as he was on the cross, and he saw all those people in front of him mocking, waiting for some kind of show, some kind of curiosity seeker, other people hating him. He just prayed this, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." He didn't grasp. He emptied. And he humbled. Well, we would ask, why is Jesus Christ completely awesome? It's because of this. It's because of this. God saw him. And, you know, Hebrews has this little verse. It's like, while he was, you know, being killed, he committed all to God, the Father. He committed all to the one who was able to save him out of death. And he was heard because of his piety. In other words, when he was crucified, when he was killed, there's no assurance. It's not like, I have this in my hand. It's like, Father, just commit this to you. And the Father said this, you're pious. You have piety. Full of piety. I hear you. And then God responded to this. And you know how he responded? Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know why he's so awesome? Because he just did that. He just did this. And stage after stage, and the emptying, and the humility, and the humbling, and that kind of life, where he could be just so quiet for those 30 years, and almost nobody even knew, this is the God, this is the God, who, this is the one who is in the form of God. You know what kind of Jesus we have? It's that kind. That kind. And when you say, wow, Jesus Christ is completely awesome, he is. Why is he awesome? Because he could let go. Why is he awesome? Because he could let go. Empty. Humble. And it was for real. I am really a servant. That's what Jesus would say. You know, compare with us. This is another world. It's another world. Compare with mankind, this is a different life. It's absolutely different. It's a life of letting go, not because you don't value, you're lazy, you don't care, no. It's a life of letting go. It's a life of letting go and allowing God the Father to exalt, if he would, in his time. And that is what the Lord Jesus did. This is our life. You know how to change your life is to become absolutely crazy about Christ. You're crazy about Christ because you realize, you know, who could do that? Who could do that? If I would want just a little fame, would I just let it go? It doesn't mean I despise it, but would I just let it go? Lord, it's fine. How do you have a church life? This way. How do you have a marriage? This way. Lord, let this mind be in me, which was also in you. Hudson Taylor once was introduced. He was giving a speech to a number of Christians, and the speaker was introduced by this man, and he said this, I welcome to you, we welcome the great Hudson Taylor. And he said, walked up to the stand, and he said, I am a humble servant of our great master. I like it. It's a different way of life. It's like, Lord, I just let go. And we get so funny. I mean, like, you know. We're just really funny. In a lot of different ways that we want things for ourselves. Want recognition for our accomplishments. Want some kind of payback. But the Lord was different. He just opened his hand. And you know, the Father gave him what he desired when he desired. But what a wonderful, you may say, well, I can't do this. Praise the Lord. I am glad you have that realization. You know what we need? We need Jesus. You know why? Because he did it. So praise the Lord, we have a Savior like this. I'll just stop here.